Psalm 33, verse number 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Let's read that out loud together. Ready? Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for including in the Bible some instructions to us concerning the importance of us being good citizens. Lord, I think, as we'll see today, that you do the best job of defining patriotism. And Lord, there's a lot of great men that's said a lot of great things. And Lord, there's always, of course, truth, an element of truth in those statements as it coincides to the scripture. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to take this celebration of our country's anniversary and use it as a time of rededication and consecration to you. We thank you, Lord, for those that have gathered here, those who regularly come, those who are our guests today. We thank you, Lord, for the baptismal service that will follow. And Lord, we anticipate, Lord, you doing great things. Open our hearts, please. Make each and every person here receptive to the preaching of God's word. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm going to preach on this subject, a Bible definition of patriotism. A Bible definition of patriotism. Let me say to the choir how much I enjoyed the song. I love patriotic songs. I have a couple of CDs that are just good, solid Christian type music, but they are patriotic in nature, and I love listening to them. I like listening to them when it's not the 4th of July. I like listening to them when it's not a national holiday of some kind, and I appreciate the music, the congregational singing. You know, I don't know what it is. We always sing well, but it seems like when we sing a patriotic song, there's a little bit more of a spark in the congregation, a little bit more of a snap in our voices, and maybe we draw ourselves just a bit more erect as we're singing. And you know what? That's the sign, I think, of a people that understand how good God has been to our country, how good he's been to our country. I enjoyed the special song, "The Day's Been a Good Day." We want to take this patriotic Sunday, and we want to hit some reset buttons. We want the Bible to speak and Christ to be uplifted. A Bible definition of patriotism. Well, first of all, let's start with what Mr. Webster said about it. He says this about a patriot. A patriot is one devoted to the welfare of one's country. I like that. It's concise and I think very accurate. Patriot is one who is devoted to the welfare of one's country. Now, a lot of times this devotion is exhibited as we study this word out, patriotism, and try to grasp a definition. The devotion is exhibited in three areas: love for country, support of one's country, and the willingness to defend one's country. You know, devotion can be measured. Love for one's country, support of one's country, a willingness to defend one's country. And I think so far that the dictionary is accurate. It's on. We're going to see a little bit about this from the Word of God, a Bible definition of patriotism. Let me read you a quote that I was astounded by and really started me down the path to what we were going to preach today. The father of our country, President George Washington, made this statement. Listen to it. Guard against the postures of pretended patriotism. Guard against the postures of pretended patriotism. Now, George Washington saw even in the very early years of our country that there were some that practiced a pretended patriotism. And he said we should guard against that. Let me read what Adlai Stevenson said. Patriotism is not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Patriotism is not a short and frenzied outburst of emotion, but the tranquil and steady dedication of a lifetime. Retired Colonel William T. Coffey, Sr. said this, The everyday practice of patriotism makes one a patriot. The everyday practice of patriotism makes one a patriot. Interesting, isn't it? This is all laying the groundwork for what we'll see in the Bible. President Abraham Lincoln, in my estimation, the greatest president we ever had. President Abraham Lincoln said this, "Gold is good in its place, but living, brave, patriotic men are better than gold." Isn't that good? Now, tenets of patriotism, or Bible tenets of patriotism. I think we live in a day and time where everybody's trying to redefine basic words. And sometimes, folks, even the course of the years, you can go back and pick up a dictionary that's 150 years old, and then 100 years old, and 50 years old, and 10 years old, and today, and lay them beside each other. And you know what? It seems like that even over the course of time, we want to redefine basic words. But the best way to define any word is to look in the Bible. An idea, a concept like patriotism is clearly defined in the Word of God. Brother Jerry, I am patriotic. Look at me. I wore red, white, and blue this morning. Amen. God bless you. That's good. I didn't. Say, what did you wear? The closest thing that I could reach for in the closet this morning. As I was half awake, I'm just thrilled that both my socks match today. So, patriotism. I'm patriotic. I'm going to go to the largest 4th of July parade in Indiana. That's in Linton. Did you know that? You know they expect 30,000 people to attend this. 30,000 people in a town of what, 5,000, 6,000 people? 30,000 people is going to attend this largest 4th of July parade. I'm going to attend that. I'm going to take a little American flag and wave it. I'm going to stand every time the colors go by and put my hand over my heart. And folks, all of these things are right and good and important. And there's certainly nothing wrong with these. But remember what George Washington said, guard against postures of pretended patriotism. Because if we're not careful, we can at key times, and key moments, scheduled events and scheduled days, decide we're going to break out and become patriotic. But I think that the Bible gives us the basis of what it is to truly love one's nation, to truly support one's nation, to truly defend one's nation. We've read here in Psalm chapter 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Brother Jerry, I love America. I want God's blessings on America. I want America to do well. I'm not interested in my own selfish interests as much as I am my country's as a whole. Well, then if those things are true, then you must pray and you must strive in your own personal life to see to it that God remains Lord of this country. If you want to see America blessed, then the Bible says, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. So let me give you the first tenet of biblical patriotism. It is patriotic to keep the God of the Bible as your Lord. You say, Brother Jerry, is the God of the Bible the Lord of America? Well, let me just tell you this. We are all America. So the way you answer that question is you say, is the God of the Bible my Lord? And you know what? As far as you are concerned, at least there's one American that's truly patriotic. You see. Goes on, let me just read some quotes to you. Don Fetter said this, "The Bible was as much America's founding document as the Declaration of Independence or the Constitution. The founding fathers' beliefs in liberty, equality before the law, and representative government came from Sinai. The Constitution is a covenant reflecting a much older covenant." You see, folks, this country was based on the Lord God of the Bible. President George Washington said this, "It is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor." That's why your pastor thinks it's criminal that our public school system does not teach about the Lord God. It's unpatriotic not to teach our children about the Lord God in connection with the history of our country. It's criminal. Sergeant Alvin York, from his wartime diary, World War I hero, he wrote these words. I carried a testament with me. I have the testament I carried with me during all my fighting at home now. I read it through five times during my stay in the Army. I read it everywhere. I read it in dugouts, in foxholes, and on the front line. It was my rock to cling to. It was my diary. I didn't do any cursing, no, not even in the front line. I cut all of that out long ago at the time I was saved. Brother Jerry, Alvin York was a patriot because of his brave acts. Alvin York was a patriot because the Lord, the God was his Lord.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Abraham Lincoln said this: I believe the Bible is the best gift God has ever given to men. All the good from the Savior of the world is communicated to us through the book. Boy, to hear presidents talk like that again. Amen. President Grover Cleveland, I love this, said this: all must admit that the reception of the teachings of Christ results in the purest patriotism, in the most scrupulous fidelity to public trust, and in the best type of citizenship. President Grover Cleveland. Patrick Henry, you recognize that name? He wrote this: it cannot be emphasized too strongly or too often that this great nation was founded not by religionists, but by Christians, not on religions, but on the gospel of Jesus Christ. For this very reason, peoples of other faiths have been afforded asylum, prosperity, and freedom of worship. And that's important, folks, because remember, the verse said, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. That's the God of the Bible. That's the Savior of the Bible, of this Bible. Not just any God, but Jehovah God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, the triune God. And as long as we keep that God, as our Lord, then we can expect the blessings of God upon our country. President Ronald Reagan said, while never willing to bow to a tyrant, our forefathers were always willing to get to their knees before God. When catastrophe threatened, they turned to God for deliverance. When the harvest was bountiful, the first thought was thanksgiving to God. Prayer is today as powerful a force in our nation as it has ever been. As we, a nation, should never forget the source of this strength. So, Brother Jerry, what is patriotism? How is patriotism defined? Patriotism is defined in this manner. Am I patriotic? I don't know. First of all, let me ask you this. Is God your Lord? Is God your Lord? Well, I thought you were going to ask whether or not I served in the armed forces or not. No, I'm asking you this. Is God your Lord? I thought you were going to ask whether or not I knew all the words, all four verses to the Star Spangled Banner. No, is God your Lord? Because the blessings of God will come upon a nation in proportion to the citizens who say that God is our Lord. Let me say this, and I ought to say this most every Sunday. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Brother Jerry, I believe in the existence of God. The Bible says that the devil believes in God and fear and trembling in fear. You know, just the belief in the existence of God is not salvation. Salvation comes when we recognize that God sent His Son, Jesus Christ, in the world to die for sinful men. And we realize we are one of those sinful men. Without the shed blood of Jesus Christ, there's no remission of sin. We come under conviction of our sin, and we understand the gospel that Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He did that for us. When we respond to that gospel, when we call out to God and say, I'm that sinner in need of a Savior. Lord, please be merciful to me. Save me. Then God saves you. And if in the timeline of your life, as you look back from this point backwards, as far as you can remember, if you can't find that spot anywhere on that timeline where you humbled your heart before God, recognized Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and yourself as a sinner, and claimed the blood of Jesus Christ, accepted Him as your Savior, then you're not saved. And that's very important, because the Bible says, except a man be born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. Brother Jerry, I've done this religious act, or I've joined this organization, or I try to be good to my neighbors. Well, I'm glad for you, but that's not being saved. And you know what? Until you are saved, you really cannot say that the God is your Lord. God is your Lord. Let me give you another tenet of patriotism. If you will, go to Proverbs chapter number 14. Proverbs chapter number 14. Let me direct you to verse 34, Proverbs 14, verse 34. Am I patriotic, Brother Jerry? Is God your Lord? Am I patriotic, Brother Jerry? Proverbs 14, verse 34 says this, righteousness exalteth the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now again, we're talking about the Bible definition of patriotism.
Yes, sir.
The Bible definition of patriotism. Folks, be careful. Be careful of pretended patriotism. Because the Bible says this, God says this, righteousness exalteth the nation. Well, I'm for America. I want to see America exalted. Then we must live righteously. Because righteousness is what exalts a nation. Righteousness is what secures God's blessing on a nation. Again, let me share with you some quotes here. Patrick Henry said this, bad men cannot make good citizens. It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Did you get that? It is when a people forget God that tyrants forge their chains. Did you hear that? Say, what's that, Brother Jerry? What's that sound? Do you hear it? That's our chains being forged. Ronald Reagan said this, the founding fathers believed that faith in God was the key to our being a good people.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. I wore red, white, and blue. Are you living a righteous life? I've got a big American flag in my front yard. Are you living a righteous life?
Yes, sir.
Well, I fought in a war. Well, good, and we're thankful for that. But are you living a righteous life? You see, Chief Justice Moore wrote, to restore morality, we must first recognize the source from which all morality springs. From our earliest history in 1776, when we were declared to be the United States of America, our forefathers recognized the sovereignty of God. Amen. Ronald Reagan said this, while America's military strength is important, let me add here that I've always maintained that the struggle now going on for the world will never be decided by bombs or rockets, by armies or military might. The real crisis we face today is a spiritual one. At root, it is a test of moral will and faith. Daniel Webster said this, whatever makes men good Christians makes them good citizens. Brother Jerry, I'm patriotic. I'm patriotic. And so, folks, listen to me. I'm all for flag waving, and I'm a flag waving American. Brother, you cut me. I bleed red, white, and blue. I love America, and I hold in disdain those who disrespect our flag and disrespect any other symbol of this country. I have no tolerance for that. But you wave a flag at the parade, and then that night you go home and beat your wife. Don't tell me you're patriotic. Don't tell me you know anything about patriotism. See, if you stand in pledge of allegiance in a good, strong voice, but then you go and put strong drink to your neighbor's lips, don't tell me about your patriotism. Don't tell me about your patriotism, because righteousness exalteth the nation. See, people who strive to live right, you know what? They are part of that corporate group that's securing the blessing of God. But folks, sin always invites judgment. Sin always leads to destruction.
Yes, sir.
Stand with your hand over your heart every time another flag comes by throughout the parade route. But after you do that, or in between doing that, if you use God's name in vain, don't you tell me about your patriotism. Now, what are you saying, Brother Jerry? I'm telling you the Bible definition of patriotism.
Yes.
See, we've got a handful of men wanting to run around and redefine patriotism. They want to talk about some far gone, long ago day when they did one act. But listen, folks, that is not defined patriotism. Patriotism is lived out day in, day out, every day by the way you live your life. And listen, you are either securing and helping to secure the blessing of God upon a country by living righteous, or you're living in sin and you're undermining the moral foundation of a country. And it's patriotic to do right.
Yes, sir.
Young man, it's patriotic to say no when somebody offers you a cigarette. It's patriotic to say no when someone shoves a beer towards you. It's patriotic to tell the truth. It's patriotic to pay your bills. It's patriotic to work hard. It's patriotic to treat your neighbor with respect and dignity. It's patriotic, gentlemen, to love your wives. It's patriotic, wives, to submit to your husbands. It's patriotic, children, to obey your parents. Are you listening to me? So you see, listen, we can wave all the flags we want to wave. I mean, we can go down to the body shop and have our car repainted red, white, and blue. But you know what? That doesn't determine our patriotism. The Bible says righteousness exalteth the nation. Let me read you this. There was a French author who came and toured America. At the end of that tour, he said this: "Not until I went into the churches of America and heard her pulpits flame with righteousness did I understand the secret of her genius and power. America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." You see, and I think that we're on the slide down. Let me have you go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Brother Jerry, am I patriotic? I don't know. Is God your Lord? Brother Jerry, am I patriotic? I don't know. Are you living a holy, separated life? Ladies, are you living a holy, separated life unto God? Men, are we living a holy, separated life unto God? Are we able to lift up to God when we pray holy hands? Are we doing right? Are we living a righteous life? Do we use our tongue for good, or do we use it for evil? Is our heart full of jealousy and envies? Is that what controls us? Is that what possesses us? Then forget patriotism. Righteousness, 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 righteousness exalteth the nation.
Yes, sir.
2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse number 14. Much preached on verse, but our overexposure to this verse does not delete a bit its power and its importance. Notice this, God says, "If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Let me tell you, the repentant Christian is the patriotic Christian. The humble Christian is the patriotic Christian. The praying Christian is the patriotic Christian. You see, the Christian who hasn't got to the point where they can sin without remorse. They can say whatever they're going to say, and you know what? Right or wrong, they don't care. Don't tell me about your patriotism.
Right. Yes, sir.
We've got to get back to being righteous and right before an almighty God.
Yes,
now, folks, again, you can never get there until you're saved, because first of all, you have to receive Christ as your Savior in order to have your sins forgiven. But folks, even after we're saved, if we're not careful, we can become very unpatriotic and still be a child of God. You know why? Because all of a sudden, we don't care much about right or wrong, and we just want to do our own thing, and we want to look at what we want to look at and say what we want to say and go where we want to go. And you know what? The words of this book ceases to mean a whole lot to us. Patriotic Christian, the patriotic member of Blessed Hope Baptist Church gets up every morning and looks into the pages of this book, takes seriously what God says. And when God says, "Thou shalt not," we take it as a command from a sovereign God.
Yes, sir. Amen.
When God commissions and commands, we look again as that, as an imperative for our lives. We want to be able to live through each and every day, not disappointing the Lord and staying close to Him and being true to His precepts. And folks, in doing so, a byproduct of that is that our nation gets exalted. Our nation gets blessed. You go back to a time in a country where that was more of the norm, and what you'll see is that there were increased blessings and America was exalted above the nations. But as people have done an about face and turned away and walked away from the precepts of this book, you know what? We have ceased to be exalted, and we are diminishing. And the blessings of God are leaving every aspect of our nation's of our nation. And so, can I tell you something that you ought to do as a patriotic act this week in preparation of this week? If you are not completely and fully and thoroughly right with God, get right this morning.
Amen.
If you've never received Jesus as your Savior, get saved. If you have received Christ but you've slipped away and slid away, and all of a sudden things that are an abomination in the sight of God has become tolerant in your viewpoint, and you participate even in those things, can I say this? Please, just bear with me, because if you'll listen with your heart of hearts, you'll know it's true. You are unpatriotic. You're unpatriotic. Do right. Do right. Do right. Say, "Brother Jerry, is this the noble of reasons?" I don't know, but I think it's an important reason. One of the reasons we need to do right is our country's counting on us. It's counting on us. And so patriotism is defined in our willingness to live a righteous life before God. Patriotism is defined by the Bible and our willingness to keep God, the God of the Bible, as the Lord of our lives. And when we walk away from those things, folks, you know what? We not only hurt ourselves and our families, but we hurt our nation. We hurt our nation. Let me say this in number three. And let's let the Bible define patriotism. It is patriotic to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Go, if you will, to Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Let me show you that this is true. Let me show you that the Bible teaches this. Romans chapter number 10. It's patriotic to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Brother Jerry, you said that patriotism is evidenced by the love you have for your country and the support or sacrifice that you give to your country and your willingness to defend the country. Let's read what the Bible says. Romans chapter 10, verse number 1. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Paul says this: "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." You know what? Israel was Paul's country. It was his nation. And he said, "The heartbeat of my life is that my fellow citizens would come to Christ." Is that the heartbeat of your life? Glance across the page at Romans chapter 9 and verse number 1. Romans chapter 9, verse number 1. Paul writes these words: "I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh." Now, one of the things you have to admit about Paul is Paul was a patriot. You know why? Because he had as his greatest heart's desire to see every citizen of his country come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. When you read the accounts of Paul, Paul brought the gospel to both the Jews and the Gentiles. But when the Jews rejected it, Paul grieved over it. He grieved in a special way. You know why? Not because he loved one person more than the other, but because he was patriotic. He wanted to see his nation turn to God. I was excited to see those Mexican people this week receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. I spent some of the week down in Mexico doing missions work this past week. And you know what? I'm glad for that. And I mean that. I'm thrilled. But you know what? I'm an American. And it grieves me that we can go down into Mexico and see such an openness towards the gospel, and I come back home and see such a almost a bitterness or a hatred, almost a defiance towards the gospel. How dare you stop me and try to talk to me about this? And I don't understand why I can go to a different country and I can take a stack of tracts, and as I begin to start passing them out on the street, I can't get very far until people are literally in line waiting to get one. And yet you try to give someone in the grocery store line or on the streets of America, and they look at you almost like, how dare you? And they might take it, but they seem to have this how dare you attitude. Why would you give me this? Pass out 100 tracts in Mexico and you won't find one on the ground. You pass out 100 in America, you'll find 50% of them on the ground, discarded. That grieves me. You know why? Because I'm patriotic. That's why it grieves me. I want to see America come to Jesus Christ. I'd like to see a revival start like a wildfire on the East Coast, the West Coast, and the Midwest, the northern states, the southern states, Alaska, Hawaii. I'd like to see it sweep like a wildfire across this nation. See, it's patriotic to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Patriotic. Go to Genesis chapter number 18. This will be our last portion of scripture that we visit. Genesis chapter number 18. Brother Jerry, do you really feel that way? I completely feel this way. One of the reasons that I go soul winning is because I believe that every person we win to Christ, every person we win to Christ. Now think about this. When you win someone to Christ, all of a sudden God becomes their Lord. When you win somebody to Christ, you give them the potential to live a righteous life and to exist in a righteous state before the eyes of God because of the blood of Jesus Christ. So every time you win someone to Christ, you bring the blessings of God upon this country. Every time you win someone to Christ, you exalt this nation. And there's a lot of reasons to go soul winning, but one of them is you ought to go soul winning because you're patriotic. Let me read this interesting story in Genesis 18, verse 23. Genesis 18, 23. And Abraham drew near and said, wilt thou also destroy the righteous with the wicked? Of course, at this point in time, God, through his son, has announced to Abraham that he's going to rain fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 24, pre-adventure, there be 50 righteous within the city. Wilt thou also destroy and not spare the place for 50 righteous that are therein? By the way, Sodom and Gomorrah was a huge, huge city. And yet Abraham's so bold as to say, if there's just 50 people that are saved in this city that some say was 1.5 million, maybe up to 2 million people, if there's just 50, and what is God's reaction? Verse 25, that be far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? And the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare all the place for their sakes. And Abraham answered and said, behold, now I have taken upon me to speak unto the Lord, which am but dust and ashes. Peradventure there shall lack 5 of the 50 righteous. Wilt thou destroy all the city for lack of 5? And he said, if I find there 40 and 5, I will not destroy it. And he spake unto him again and said, peradventure there shall be 40 found there. And he said, this is God saying, I will not do it for 40's sake. And he said unto him, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak, peradventure there shall be 30. Shall 30 be found there? And he said, I will not do it if I find 30 there. And he said, behold, now I have take it upon me to speak unto the Lord. Peradventure, there shall be 20 found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 20's sake. He said, oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak yet this once. Peradventure, 10 shall be found there. And he said, I will not destroy it for 10's sake. That's amazing. That's so amazing. The Lord went his way as soon as he had left communion with Abraham, and Abraham returned into his place, and Abraham probably thought, you know what, I made a pretty good deal there. Say, Brother Jerry, did Lot love Sodom and Gomorrah? No. But I heard he was even according to what the scripture said, didn't even hold some kind of political position. Didn't he love Sodom and Gomorrah? No! No, he did. You know why? Because he never tried to introduce them to the Lord God of Israel. He just acclimated into Sodom and Gomorrah. He just became like Sodom and Gomorrah. He just took the easy road. He did what was politically correct, not what was scripturally accurate. Instead of showing up into that city and saying, I want to be a beacon of light in this dark place and try to keep God from destroying it. You know what he said? He said, I'm going to take my light, as we sang in our Sunday school hour, and I'm going to hide it under a bushel. And I'm just going to try to get along. I'm going to try to prosper and make money and live nice and see if I can get a big house and a nice chariot. Marry my kids off best I can to whoever I can get to take them off my hands. And you know what? I'm just going to be a big wig in this place. And he did that. But because of that, God destroyed the city, even though there was a Christian in that city. You love America? Brother Jerry, do you love America? Do I love America? Am I really patriotic? I don't know. When's the last time you passed out a gospel tract? When's the last time you invited somebody to church? When's the last time you went soul winning? When's the last time you asked the difficult question? It's sometimes difficult to ask. Let me ask you something. Are you saved? If you died now, do you know for sure you go to heaven? When's the last time you took out your little New Testament and said, let me show you some verses in Romans? You see, folks, here's the thing. We can talk about patriotism, and we can let it be that short little burst of emotional frenzy that Patrick Henry talked about. Time from time spurts up and makes us feel good because we participated in this event, sang this song, or stood rigid straight while we did the pledge and knew all the words. But that does not define patriotism. Not by God, it doesn't. And the people that love this country are the people who have made God the Lord of their lives. People that truly love this country are the ones that are getting up every day and to the best of our ability. We all fail. We all fall short. We know that. The Bible says that. But we live every day trying to live a righteous life before God, a righteous life before God. Real patriotism is measured in our willingness and our desire and our heart's desire to look around at those that fellow citizens of our country and say, we got to get the gospel. Why? Because I want them to get to heaven. But not only that, every person that's saved, then God becomes their Lord. Every person that's saved, all of a sudden they've got an opportunity to be righteous before God, and that will bless my country and that will exalt my nation and maybe even spare it for another generation. So you got to decide. You've got to decide what your relationship to this country is. Go your own way. Go ahead. Go get focused back into the world. Go chase whatever is out there that you want to chase. Look with disdain upon what's been preached this morning. Do whatever you want, but I'm telling you, don't you tell me you're patriotic. Don't tell me you're patriotic. And I haven't got a right to say it either. If I'm not willing to look in the scriptures and say, how does God define patriotism? Heads are bowed, eyes are closed this morning. You've been very attentive. Thank you so much. God bless you. Before we have our invitation song and then be dismissed, we're going to pray. But before I pray, I'd like to talk to you with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, nobody looking around. I do this to make it easy for you to respond. Let me ask you an honest question, a simple question, but a very, very important question. Have you ever been saved? Have you ever received Christ as your Savior? If you died right now, are you 100% sure you go to heaven? You say, Brother Jerry, why do you ask that question? Because I care about you. Why do you ask that question? Because God commanded me to preach the gospel. Why do you ask that question? Because I'm patriotic. I care about you. I care about our country. and you're one of my fellow Americans, and I want you to be saved. I can't save you. There's nobody in this room that can save you. But Jesus Christ can save you. He came and died on an old rugged cross years ago. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day. And when he died on that cross, he died for my sins, your sins, the sins of the whole world. When a person realizes that they're lost without Christ, they've never received him as Savior, they realize that they're a sinner and they come under conviction of sin. And they're willing to bow their hearts and call upon Christ and ask him to save them. Then the Bible says, as whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Is there anyone here that would say, Brother Jerry, if I was to die right now, I'll just be honest with you, preacher, if I was to die right now, I don't know what would happen. But I do know that God is speaking to my heart even right now. There's something going on inside of me that I can't explain. But God is speaking to my heart. I'm concerned about this. If I died right now, I don't know what would happen. But I am concerned about it. Preacher, pray for me. And by the way, I won't come get you. I won't call your name. I won't do anything to embarrass you. But I do want to pray for you. I won't pray for you by name. God knows who you are, but I will pray for you. Preacher, if I died right now, I'm not sure what would happen, but I'm concerned about it. I'm worried about it. I'd like to make sure that I'm saved. Would you just slip your hand up so I can pray for you real quick? Just put it up, straight down real quick. Anyone here? I'm not sure what would happen if I was to die, but I'm concerned about it. Christians, there's a lot going on. I'm not trying to steal from the enjoyment of the celebrations of this weekend. Well, folks, we have got to get back to the Bible and let it talk to us about some things. And the Bible is the only place where we can go where we know for sure we'll get an accurate definition of anything, especially this matter of patriotism. Patriotism. Let me ask you something. I'm talking to saved people. Is God your Lord? Have you become your Lord? Has somebody else in your life become your Lord? Or is God your Lord? Let me ask you this. Are you completely and thoroughly right with God? Brother Jerry, I can say from the depth of my heart that I've, before my Lord, I have a pure heart. There's not anything between me and the Savior. I know I'm as right with God as I feel like I possibly can be. Can you say that with an assurance this morning? What about this matter of sharing the gospel? Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you speak to our hearts. Lord, America's in trouble. We can read the paper and cluck our tongues and shake our heads and point our fingers. But God says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways. The Bible says judgment must begin at the house of God. And I pray, Lord, that you give us a tenderness, a humbleness. Help us to want to be right with you. Thank you for America. Thank you for all we've enjoyed. I pray, Lord, that you speak to hearts even now. Help us to continue having what we have. Continue to be blessed. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.